A couple years ago, my wife Rochelle, the kids and I were on our way to spend Thanksgiving with my relatives in Northern Connecticut. The problem was that we weren't able to leave until the evening before. That's right, we were trying to leave the city the Wednesday evening before Thanksgiving, the busiest travel day of the year. And not only that, but we were bringing our dog Willow with us, who starts to whine whenever we're in stop-and-go traffic. This was not a recipe for success. But we wanted to get up there that night, and so we decided we're going to grit our teeth and make it through. So we slogged through traffic on our way out of the city, and we finally got up into Connecticut. But we're driving along Interstate 84 in the middle of Connecticut, and that picture basically shows, you know, something of what we were dealing with that day. And as we're driving along, just, you know, slowly on this interstate, Google Maps, which I had open, suggests a shorter route if we get off the interstate and bypass some of the worst traffic. Now, at this point, I was ready to try anything to get out of that stuck traffic on the interstate. So we decide we're going to give it a try. Unfortunately, many other people also must have been watching Google Maps and were also suggested to take this other route off the side of the highway. And so we were still kind of going a little bit slowly. But finally, you know, we're getting along. We're bypassing some of the traffic there. But all of a sudden, I'm feeling pretty good, right? We're getting close to the entrance ramp to get back onto the interstate after bypassing a lot of the traffic. But all of a sudden, as we're approaching the entrance ramp, we see the entrance ramp is closed. We can't get back onto the interstate. Unfortunately, Google Maps was not aware of this. And so I am suddenly crossing over the interstate onto the other side, and I have no idea where to go. Google Maps is only telling me to take a U-turn and go back to that closed entrance ramp. That's the only option that Google Maps is telling me. So I decide, well, I'm just going to drive a little further. You know, eventually I'll find another way to get back onto the interstate. So I'm driving along, and all of a sudden I realize that suddenly there's no street lights, and I'm suddenly driving like in the middle of a neighborhood in central Connecticut. And all Google Maps is telling me is turn around and go back to that closed entrance ramp. Now at this point, our dog Willow is whining like crazy. And from the back seat, my son Lucas pipes up and says, "Daddy, are we lost?" That was an understatement. Have you ever been in a situation like that, where maybe you think you're avoiding a problem, like the traffic on the interstate, but your approach to trying to avoid the problem actually makes it much worse? You all of a sudden you're stuck in a random neighborhood in central Connecticut because of your attempt to avoid this other problem? Well, in today's text, we're going to see Abraham deal with something like this, get into kind of a similar mess. He tries to avoid one problem, only to get himself into another problem that is actually much worse. Last Sunday, we began a sermon series called Abraham, A Journey of Faith. And we saw last week that God called Abraham to leave his homeland, to journey to the land of Canaan. And God said, as he got to this land, that he was going to give this land to Abraham's offspring. The only problem was that Abraham didn't have any offspring at this time. And he's 75 years old, and his wife Sarai is barren. And yet, Abraham believes God. He somehow believes that God's promise to him is going to happen. And so he leaves his homeland, he goes to this land, and he's walking this journey of faith, as we talked about last week. But what we're going to look at today is what happens after Abraham gets to the land. And we're going to see that Abraham, although he's walking this journey of faith, he makes some mistakes along the way. And he doesn't walk this journey perfectly. And actually, he stumbles along the journey. And that's my sermon title for today, Stumbling on the Journey. We're going to see how that happened for Abraham and how God yet met him in the midst of his stumbling. And we're going to talk about how God meets us in moments where we stumble along our journey of faith as well. So our text today is Genesis chapter 12, and we'll be looking at verses 10 through 20. So Genesis 12, beginning with verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "I know what a beautiful woman you are." Pretty good, right? Abraham knows how to take care of his wife there. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abram came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that she was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his palace. He treated Abram well for her sake, and Abram acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants and maid servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. So Pharaoh summoned Abram. "What have you done to me?" he said. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." Then Pharaoh gave orders about Abram to his men, and they sent him on his way with his wife and everything he had. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the record of this moment in Abraham's journey that reminds us that Abraham was not perfect, and that you call imperfect people, you call people who even stumble. And we pray that you would open our eyes to ways that we sometimes stumble in our walk of faith, but ways that you are also a God who redeems and rescues us too. And so give us eyes to see your word and your message to us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start this morning by looking at ways that we stumble. How did Abraham stumble on his journey? How do we sometimes stumble in similar ways to Abraham? And the first way that we see Abraham kind of stumbling in this passage, which we often do too, is by trying to escape difficulty by going our own way. Trying to escape difficulty by going our own way. Abram, he had obeyed God's call to leave his homeland of Haran and to go to this new land of Canaan. But after getting there, as we hear in our passage, it's hit by famine. And verse 10 says, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe." So when this famine hits, you can imagine Abram wondering to himself, "God, why did you send me to this land? I mean, why did you pick this land to send me to, and now all of a sudden there's a famine? I don't have anywhere to settle here. I don't have any land. I'm just traveling around. What are we going to eat? How are we going to survive?" But this time, as Abram is in this situation, there's no message from God. Right? Earlier, the beginning of Genesis, we see God telling Abram, "Okay, Abram, leave this land and go to this other one." But here, facing this famine, Abram doesn't get any message from God. God doesn't tell him, "Leave the land, Abram, go to this other land of Egypt." No, there's no indication in our text that God wanted Abram to go to Egypt. A couple Sundays ago, we saw many years later that God actually did do that with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, right? When they were in a situation of difficulty, God told them through an angel, "Leave this land, go to Egypt to escape King Herod's attempt to murder him." But here we don't see God telling Abram to leave the land of Canaan. It only says Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while. Now, we can probably relate to Abram here, right? I mean, the reality is nobody likes staying in a difficult situation, right? We don't like sitting in traffic. I didn't like doing that, right? I want to change the situation. I don't want to stay there. It's not fun to be in a situation of discomfort, or if you're in a situation of a relational difficulty. We don't like sitting in that. And so it's natural, as Abram is in this land that God tells him, "This is going to be your land. This is where I want you to be." that all of a sudden Abraham finds himself in a difficult situation. He's facing famine, and it's understandable that Abram says, I want to get out of here. I'm going to escape this land. I'm going to go to another land that's going to be easier. And so he leaves the promised land, and he goes down to Egypt. But by doing this, I believe that Abram took things into his own hands and that he went his own way rather than trusting in God's provision for him in the land or turning to God with his concern or waiting for God's direction. We don't see any indication that Abraham did any of those things. Is it possible that God actually wanted Abram to stay in the land and endure the difficulty of famine to actually experience God's provision for him in the midst of that? That he wanted him actually to stay there and that God was going to meet his needs and show that he's a God who provides even in the midst of famine. Now, the text doesn't tell us this for sure, but Abram wanted to escape difficulty, and so he leaves the land that God led him to, and he goes his own way. And we'll see, again, what happens as a result of that. Now, I want to be clear about something. I'm not saying that it's always wrong to escape or avoid difficulty. Like I mentioned, God actually wanted Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus to leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt for safety. So there are times where God does. He tells us to leave a situation of difficulty. He frees us from it. There are certainly times where it is right to escape difficulty. If you are in a situation where you're being physically or emotionally abused, that's a situation it's right to get out of that, right? Not to just stay in the midst of that. There are times where God will call us to leave a difficult situation. But I think a lot more often are times where we experience difficulty and our immediate response is, I don't like this, I want to get out of here. You run into some problems at work. And your reflex reaction is, let me start looking for another job. Let me start looking through the job ads because I don't like what's going on here. I want to get out of here. Or you get into a fight with your spouse and your immediate thought is thinking about divorce, thinking about getting out of this situation. Or you run into some problems with some friends and your immediate response is, I'm done with them. I'm done with that, those people. I'm moving on. Or you have challenges with your church and you decide, I'm just going to go somewhere else. Or you're working on a project or a goal, but you hit some roadblocks and you say, I'm just going to give up. One of the key truths in the Bible is that God actually often uses difficulty and even suffering as a way to grow us and to cause us to rely on him more fully and to show us his power to provide in the midst of difficulty. But if we're never willing to actually go through difficulty, to stay and endure hardship, we miss out on all those things. We're not going to be grown in those ways if our immediate response is always to jump ship and move on to something that's easier. The journey of faith often involves going through hardship, staying, enduring difficulties. That's how God grows our faith in him. And when we try to avoid that too quickly, we stumble. Now, another way that Abraham and we sometimes stumble is trying to control a situation out of fear through manipulation and deception. So Abram and Sarai, they get to the border of Egypt, and they've got this brilliant plan, right? We're getting away from the famine. We're going to this great place called Egypt, and all of our problems are going to be solved. We're going to this great situation. But all of a sudden, then they get to Egypt. Abram starts to worry about his plan. He looks at his wife, who at the age of 65 is still drop-dead gorgeous, according to Abram, right? He says, you are a beautiful woman, Sarai. Whoever said that the young only have beauty here, right? He looks at his wife and she's looking good. And he thinks, you know, if these Egyptians see you and they know that I'm your husband, they're going to kill me to get you. And so he says, you know, this can't happen. And so he starts to worry and he's overcome by fear. His earlier plan to escape difficulty has now led him into a situation where things are even more difficult. Now he's on the verge of even something even more perilous, where maybe he's going to die, or maybe they're going to take his wife. Abram forgets that God had promised him some things in the previous passage, right? We saw this. God promised, Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation. If that's a promise of God, why is Abram worrying about dying? He's not going to die if God's going to make him into a great nation. And so his fear overwhelms his faith in God's promises. And what's his response? He's going to try to control the situation. He's going to make sure that this doesn't happen. And so his response is to control through manipulation and deception. He comes up with this plan. He says, Sarai, you're going to tell the Egyptians that you are my sister, not my wife. So then they won't kill me. Now, of course, as Abram is coming up with this plan, he's basically thinking about his own safety here. He's not really thinking a lot about his wife's safety here, right? I mean, he maybe forgets the possibility that if they think that he's not married to her, then they might just take her anyway, right? And actually, that's exactly what happens. They look at Sarah, they say, Pharaoh, this woman, she's really, and they take Sarai away into Pharaoh's palace. Abram is okay, but Sarai, his wife, is now in serious danger, having been taken away, likely into Pharaoh's harem. Later on, Pharaoh says, to make her my wife. Abram's attempts to control the situation through manipulation, through deception, they backfire on him. They end up making things way worse. Now, I know that none of us would ever do anything like this, right? We would never lie about something like that. We would never try to control a situation. I mean, now the reality is those words are kind of harsh, right? Manipulation, deception. We don't like to think about the possibility that we could actually do something like this. But let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you were asked a question by someone, and all of a sudden they ask you this question, and you realize if I tell them the truth, they're not going to like that response. And so you decide to not tell the truth, to sort of, make up a little fib or stretch it or forget about something there, because you're afraid of how the other person's going to respond. Guess what? That is trying to control a situation out of fear through manipulation and deception. Your boss asks you if you've completed the task that he or she assigned to you. Or for the students out there, your teacher asks you if you've done the reading or the assignment that you were assigned. And your response is, of course, yes, I've done it, when you actually haven't, right? Because you don't want to get in trouble for that. Or your parent asks you, have you cleaned your room like I asked you to? Or your spouse asks you if you've taken out the trash. Or a friend asks you to help them with something, and you don't really want to help them, but you don't want to tell them that you don't want to help them. So you kind of make up a story, an excuse about I got to do this thing or whatever. We're trying to control the situation. We've all done it. We've all done it. And maybe for some of you who are here today, you're caught up in this in a big way. And maybe you've done something and you're trying to keep it covered, and you're wrapped up in a web of lies that you've been spinning, trying to prevent that person from knowing what really happened. Maybe you are desperately trying to control a situation, but in the process you are manipulating people. You're manipulating circumstances. And whether it's something that's big or something that's small, what this reveals to us is the last way that we stumble, that's kind of behind these other two, is that we are often doubting God's promises and goodness. Why do we try to escape difficulty? Why do we try to control situations? Because we don't believe that God will take care of us. We don't believe God's promises. We don't believe God's goodness. When Abram tells Sarai to lie so that he won't get killed, he's doubting God's promises to him and God's goodness. He doubts that God will take care of him if he actually tells the truth and says, "This is my wife." Because he doesn't believe that God will actually take care of him. When we lie out of fear, it shows that we don't trust God to take care of us. Even if telling the truth might cause some difficulties for us, do we believe that God can handle that? We don't trust God with the situation, so we try to control it. And this is the deeper stumbling that's behind these attempts to escape difficulty, to control. We don't trust God. And in fact, by taking things into our own hands, we are actually trying to be God. We're trying to put ourselves in his place, saying, "God, I don't trust you, so I'm going to solve this problem. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to massage this thing so that I can take care of myself." So what are the consequences of all this? What are the consequences of our stumbling? When we stumble in these ways, what can happen as a result? What happens to Abram? What happens to Sarai? Well, the first thing is that we miss out on seeing God provide. And we often make things much worse. By leaving the promised land for Egypt, as I said earlier, I think Abram misses out on God actually providing for him in the land, of God actually meeting his needs in the midst of this famine. He missed out on having his faith stretched and grown in a good way. And in the process, he makes things way worse by going to Egypt and getting embroiled in this whole mess with Pharaoh. That never would have happened if he'd stayed in the land. And then when he goes to Egypt and he lies, tells Sarai to lie to the Egyptians, they missed out on the possibility of seeing God protect them even by telling the truth. Right? Abram could have told the truth and God would have protected them. And he misses out on that. He missed out on the opportunity to have his faith stretched and grown. And again, they make things way worse as Pharaoh takes Sarai into his palace. The same thing can happen for us. There have been many times in my life when I've been faced with a difficult situation, and instead of saying, "I'm going to stay here and go through it," my response has been, "I don't want to deal with that." And I step away. And when I do that, I miss out. I miss out on seeing God provide. I miss out on God stretching me through that. There have been other times where I have been willing to stay and it's been hard. But God has stretched me and grown me and shown himself to be faithful in the midst of that. And just like my attempt to avoid the traffic on Interstate 84 and ending up making things way worse by getting off the side of the road and ignoring that Google GPS telling me to turn around. By trying to control things, I made things way worse for myself, and we often do the same thing. How many times have we tried to maybe not tell the truth completely? We lie to try to cover something, and it ends up making the situation way worse than if we'd actually told the truth, even if it was a hard truth to say. We make a mess of things. But another consequence of our stumbling is that other people can be negatively affected, that other people get hurt in the process. In verse 17, it says that the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abram's wife, Sarai. Abram and Sarai, they don't only affect themselves, but their sin ends up affecting Pharaoh and his household. Pharaoh hadn't realized that Sarai was a married woman because she hadn't been honest about that. And so he takes this married woman and God brings a punishment upon him for that. He ends up suffering as a result of Abram and Sarai's deception. Our attempts to control things and escape difficulty often affect other people too. A woman that I knew suspected that her husband was cheating on her, was having an affair. And she asked him about different suspicious activities that she was noticing, and he just kept on giving her excuses, kept on explaining it away. He refused to own up to what was happening. And she was deeply hurt, not just by the unfaithfulness, but by the deception too. The fact that there wasn't a willingness to deal with this. When we lie and cover our sin rather than confessing it, we compound our sin. We make it worse. We end up hurting people even more. And the deepest consequence of our stumbling is that we separate ourselves from God. There's a spiritual component to this. When we refuse to trust God, instead take things into our own hands, we are separating ourselves from Him. I want you to notice something in this passage. Do you notice the contrast between this week's text and the week before? Last week, God is speaking to Abraham. Abraham's listening to God. He's going through the land. He's building altars. He's calling on the name of the Lord. He's worshiping God. None of that's happening in this passage. Abram doesn't hear from God. He's not listening for God, for one thing. He's not building any altars. He's not calling on the name of the Lord. None of that's happening because by Abram choosing to go his own way and deceiving, he's blocked himself away from God. He's turned his back on God. He's separated himself from God. I painted a pretty bleak picture here, haven't I? Is there any hope? Is there any hope for Abram and Sarai? Is there any hope for us when we stumble? There is. There is. But the only hope that we can possibly have is because of God's response to our stumbling. The answer here is not we need to just fix ourselves and get ourselves back. You know, no, the answer, our only hope, is God's response to our stumbling. Our stumbling, it has consequences. We can miss out on seeing God provide. Other people can be negatively affected. We can separate ourselves from God. But guess what? Our God, He loves us too much to leave us there. He doesn't leave us there. And the first response that God shows to our stumbling is that God comes near to us and mercifully rescues us. We separate ourselves from God, but God, He comes near to us. God could have left Sarai trapped in Pharaoh's palace. He could have said, you know what, you're meddling, you're manipulating, you're going to get what you deserve. Sarai, she's lost. Abram, you're going to stay in Egypt. That's it. I'm done with you guys. But God doesn't do that. He comes near to them. He shows them mercy. And He rescues them. And in this situation, the way that He does that is actually through inflicting Pharaoh and his household with these diseases. Because these diseases end up prompting Pharaoh to inquire about the situation, and he finds out, oh, this woman is actually Abram's wife. And actually, in this situation, Pharaoh shows a lot of integrity here. He shows a lot of honesty. He goes to Abram and says, what are you doing? She's your wife. Why didn't you tell me that? And so he gives Sarai back to Abram, and he says, go back to your land, leave. And guess what? By doing that, they end up going right back to where God wanted them to stay in the first place, back in the promised land. Not only that, but Abram ends up leaving Egypt with more sheep, cattle, donkeys, servants, and camels. Did Abram deserve any of that? No way. His disobedience and lack of trust should have left him with fewer livestock, fewer servants. He deserved judgment. He deserved punishment. But this is not how our God operates. Our God shows mercy and grace to sinners who don't deserve it. While we're busy running away from difficulty and we're trying to control things on our own and we're separating ourselves from God, guess what? God doesn't leave us there. He comes near to us. He's like that Google Maps GPS voice that kept telling me, turn around, turn around. Don't keep going the same direction. You're only going to get more lost. He keeps telling us, turn around. I'll show you the way. God shows us mercy. He graciously rescues us. And he even pours out blessings on us that we don't deserve. He gives us forgiveness and eternal life. And he credits us with Christ's perfect righteousness. And he gives us the Holy Spirit. Do we deserve any of that? No, we don't. We deserve God's judgment. But God gives us blessing instead. Why would he do that? Why would God do that? Why would God bless Abram and Sarai after they stumbled? Why would he bless us when we continue to stumble in all the ways that we've been talking about today? Because he loves us. Because we're his children. And he knows us. He knows our frailty. He knows our weakness. He knows our sin. But he loves us anyway, and he calls us back to himself. And the last thing that we see of God's response to our stumbling is that God shows us that our stumbling cannot stop God's promises or God's plan. God's promises, God's plan are greater than our stumbling. They're greater than our sin. God's plan can't be thwarted by our failures. In fact, unbelievably, God even uses our stumbling and our failures and even our sin as even a way to bring about his plan. That's amazing. God uses even our brokenness and the ways that we turn away. He uses even those things to grow us. And to turn us back to himself and to shape us. That's how amazing our God is. God takes Abram and Sarai, and even through their unfaithfulness, what happens? He ends up bringing them back, right back to the land where he wanted them. We're going to see in the coming weeks that God continues to affirm to Abram that he has still chosen him, that he is still going to bless him, that he's still going to use him, even despite this failing of his. Even when we stumble, God continues to proclaim the promises we talked about last Sunday, that we are forgiven, that we are God's beloved children, that we're loved unconditionally, that God hasn't given up on us, that he has an eternal inheritance for us. Guess what? Our sin can't negate those promises. He pours out his grace and his mercy upon us again and again and again and again. And he says, turn away from those things. You don't need that stuff because I'm here for you. You can trust me. He pours out his forgiveness to show us that we can trust him, that he has our good in mind, that he loves us. So where are you today? Are you running away from a difficult situation? Are you trying to control a situation out of fear? Are you trapped in manipulation and deception? Are you caught up in some lies because you're afraid to tell the truth about something? Are you doubting God's promises? Are you doubting his goodness to you? Are you not trusting him that he can take care of you even in the midst of that situation? Are you stumbling on your journey of faith today? If you are, know that you're not alone, that Abraham did it too, that I do it, we all do it. But I want you to hear God's voice to you today, calling you back to himself. Listen to God's GPS telling you, stop where you are, don't keep going deeper, turn around, make a U-turn, repent. Come back to me. Trust me again. I will take care of you. Receive his mercy. Let him rescue you in the midst of that. And trust that your stumbling cannot stop his promises or his plan for you. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we are so often like Abram, that we get afraid in situations where we're in a situation of difficulty, and our response so often is not to trust you in the midst of it, God, but to want to just go our own way, to run away from a hard situation, to try to control it, to manipulate, to lie, to get ourselves out of it. And Lord, our faith is so weak. We so often try to take things into our own hands rather than going to you with it and trusting you, following you even to stay in a hard situation. God, forgive us for the ways that we're just like Abram and Sarai. We thank you, God, that you are a God who is gracious and merciful, that you don't treat us as we deserve, that you don't reject us because of this, Lord, but that you rescue us. You keep calling out to us, saying, come back to me, trust me. I have your good in mind. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to forgive and to cleanse and to call you to keep following me on this journey of faith. So give us grace, Lord, to do that, to repent and to confess our failures and our stumbling, and to trust that you've paid for these things in full on the cross, and that we can keep walking this journey, Lord, trusting you, even in hard situations, even when you're calling us to tell the truth in a situation that we're afraid what'll happen if we do. Help us to follow you, God. Shape us as you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.